Hello and welcome once again to The Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective, giving out betting information, betting strategy, and of course, free best bets. Now joined on the line to break down the last game or the last round of the season is Jacob. How are you, buddy?
Well, mate, it's been a tough week, to be dead honest with you, for a number of reasons. Obviously, our Facebook page, Tripod NRL Betting Podcast, that we started up 18 months ago, got deleted by Facebook. Basically, not really any wrongdoing on our behalf. Like, we didn't know that at this stage that if you post betting-related content on Facebook without basically having a already standing contract worth tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, basically can be deleted. Basically just to ensure they keep a monopoly. And I guess we just didn't know we were doing anything wrong because we feel that we're a resource for punters. We always encourage responsible gambling, give out tips, just like a lot of other pages give out tips. But I guess we were just a bit under the radar up until this point. And then we've either been reported by either a rival or a betting company themselves. And once Facebook kind of had it in for us, we were stuffed. Our accounts were getting frozen. Our posts were getting deleted, and the page is gone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the page is gone. And to top things off, we recorded what I thought was a really good pod that went for 45 minutes. Well, pretty much 45 minutes ago, and it didn't record for some reason. So we're going to have a bit of a speed round this one because you don't have that much time. So we're going to go through the games a little bit quicker this time round.
Yeah, absolutely. So what should we say first? We should say round 26. This is exciting. This is our last round of the season. It is annoying. We've already done the pod. So, you know, we're not going to be able to replicate that 45 minutes, but we did speak a lot about the correlated multis, and we'll talk about what correlation means in a second. We did talk. So we've broke down every game from betting perspective. We talked about our correlated multis. We talked about all sorts of things. We're going to have to give you kind of a shorter version of that. But I should just say, all right, our Facebook page has been deleted, but we're still on Facebook in our group. It's called Tripod Tips Forum. We're still on our website, which is called www.tripodbetting.com, where we give out our best bets. We'll talk about the challenge we're running and stuff like that at the end. But I should say, we've done well. It's our second full season, our second season doing the pod. We're once again over 60%. We're at 61% online bets. Not any bets, not these, easy short favourites that other sites claim to boost their percentage. Every bet we give out is 50-50, and we've won over 60%, which is a massive winning clip. If you put $100 on every one of our best bets over the last two seasons, you are up in the vicinity of $15,000, and you never would have had any outlay or been down more than at any stage betting on that. And look, not only do we get our last chance in the regular season to make some money because it gets a bit tougher in the finals, we can talk about why we lose some advantages in the finals, but there are correlated opportunities this weekend. So we've used the word correlated before, and what we mean is the outcome of one bet influences the outcome of another one. So we talk about correlated line and total, where we bet an underdog plus 12.5, we bet the under because those two results are correlated. You're going to understand that with teams, there are a few dominoes in place this weekend. Depending on earlier results, it's going to affect the way that certain teams approach later games, and it's going to give us some massive advantages that we're going to get into as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And you always sort of look forward to those last couple of rounds of the season. There's some good money to be made with those correlated multis. And the betting sites quite haven't cottoned on yet. But the thing is, you hate to have a round in the very last round where you've got absolutely no correlations at all, but that's not what we have this time round. We've got some really good ones this week, so I'd say let's get into it. Thursday night to kick off the round, we've got the Broncos hosting the Roosters. Broncos are -13.5 at home and 41.5 the total.
So usually it's our initial thoughts on the games. We bounce back and forth our thoughts, but since we've already recorded it, I'm pretty much going to summarise what we thought, and we're going to go game for game. All right, this one should be pretty straightforward. You have the home team that has regained their confidence and their form. They showed it last week against the Storm. We were all over them there. They're healthy again here. They win, they get into the four, at least for 24 hours. I was looking at the Roosters as a live dog because they do have talent, a bit of revenge factor. They got knocked out of the prelim. A year ago, they were down 18-0 after about 10 minutes. But I can't do it with no Takiaho. Boyd Cordon is the best forward on that team. And Mitch Orbison is injured as well. So I think Brisbane are rightfully favoured by double digits. Not laying that either. Do think Brisbane wins. Could be good for a multi, but other than that, don't have a play on the game.
Yeah, sounds good. And we'll get into the correlations regarding that one a little later on. On Friday night, we've got the Bulldogs hosting the Rabbits. Bulldogs laying anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 points, and the total is 35.5. Now, with this one, obviously, I mentioned, feels strange saying it the second time round. But anyway, if you're thinking about rushing to the window to play the over for this one, just hold your horses. There is rain scheduled for Sydney for Friday night, and that's why the total is 35.5. That's why it is a low total. And I was planning on leaving this one alone, and I think so were you, but we dug a little bit deeper. And what we have here is we have a Bulldog side that, you know, we both believe are better on paper than this Rabbits team. We've got a Bulldog side that needs the game like blood and can still possibly finish top four with the Broncos loss on Thursday night. So the Bulldogs that need the game a shitload and the Rabbits that don't need the game at all. And we've got a Bulldogs team at home. And they're only laying 3.5 points we can get them at. So I think this is I didn't want to play it before, but now that I look at it a little more, I think this is, we have to play the Bulldogs here, -3.5 points, you know, at home, needing the game and a better roster against a Rabbit side that, you know, played fairly well last week against the beat-up Knights. But I think we should definitely take the 3.5. It seems like a relatively cheap line. The only concern that I'd have is the weather, and you hate laying points in the weather, but even so, it's only 3.5 points. I think the Bulldogs get the job done. Saturday, early game, we've got the Dragons hosting the Knights. The Dragons are -8.5 points at home and 37.5 in total.
And honestly, the less said about that game, the better. We don't have a best bet on Dragons-Knights, but I will say, with regard to the Knights, they're just the second-rate roster, and the Bunnies certainly looked good on Sunday. But that's another reason why I do actually love the Doggies. You got a Bunnies team that won by 20-plus points on Sunday, and everyone watched them on TV and can see the Bunnies. Aha, decent. You got a Bulldogs team that got made to look second-rate by the Cows. That was all the way back on Thursday. So they get, you know, 8 days to prepare for this one. The Bunnies get 5 days. Even if the Broncos win on Thursday night, the Bulldogs can still get up to fifth, which is definitely better than sixth. So they do want to win the game. Plus, they want to regain some form because they're off two straight losses, and they're fully healthy. So you've got a full healthy, better team that does want the win. So I love laying the 3.5 with the Dogs. And as we said, probably a good time to put in a shift with the missus on Saturday arvo. There's way better footy coming up, so you don't really need to watch or bet on Dragons night.
True, but I'd like to add, I'm not going to bet on the Dragons or the Knights, but what I am possibly going to bet on is the over. It's one of the lowest totals of the round. It's 37.5 points. But I checked the weather report. There's no rain. It's meant to be a sunny day down there at the Dragons' home ground on the Saturday afternoon. Plus, we've got Benji Marshall, who, you know, although he's past his prime, is a playmaker. He's going to want to put on a show for his last game in a Dragons outfit. We've got Nathan Ross coming back on the wing, and he's good for a try or so. And I think that with two teams with nothing to play for that are probably going to be looking to put on a show, throw the ball around a little bit, 37.5 seems cheap. And we saw it last week with the Dragons Eels. We played the over in that one, and although the total sailed over, it was a little bit of a tight one. But we do like playing the totals over when there's two teams with nothing to play for, especially in a sort of, you know, a game like this where Benji's playing his last game at home. And we throw on the ball around, there's going to be less defense play because the game means nothing. 37.5 seems low.
That is true. Actually, thanks for reminding me. And we also saw last week sunny afternoon games in beautiful, you know, conditions go over as well. And thanks for reminding me that one because I actually do love the over on that one.
Yeah, and like you were saying in the previous pod, the Canberra Raiders and the Manly Sea Eagles went way over. There was 60-odd points scored in that one, and that was just a dry track, sunny afternoon on a Saturday. Perfect weather for scoring some points. Second Saturday game, we've got the Cowboys hosting the Titans. Cowboys are 9.5 point favourites and 41.5 in total. You want to take this?
I'll let you go.
All right. Well, this.
Now you're back on.
Yeah, sure. So look, let's be honest here. I think the Cowboys win the game, but there's a lot of dependence on this one. So the Cowboys can still finish fourth. They are in fourth at the moment. But if the Broncos and Bulldogs lose, then the Cowboys don't need the game. They're already locked into fourth spot because of their points differential. Oh, mate, you got some kindergarten kids around you.
Actually, do. Yeah.
So, but other than that, the Titans obviously need the game like blood because they're still sitting in eighth spot there and the Tigers will not have played yet. So I don't have a play on this one. I think that if the Cowboys need the game, they probably will cover that 9.5-point spread. I think they're a far superior outfit at home in Townsville fighting for a top four berth. But the issue being is you can't play it early because you need to wait and see what happens with the Broncos and Bulldogs. Because if either one of those two teams win, then the Cowboys need the game and they'll try. But if both of those teams lose, then the Cowboys don't need the game at all, really. And then, you know, you're laying 9.5 points in a game that is essentially meaningless for them. So it's a stay away for now from me, but we may have we'll definitely have a slight correlated multi with that later on.
And now, it is unlikely that Brisbane and the Bunnies lose, but it's a possibility. Yeah, a bunch of school kids just went running past me. No sign of Heathy chasing yet, but there has to be some reason behind it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, exactly like you say. Look, we do know the Titans will throw the absolute kitchen sink at them because they need to, but after a dream-crushing loss last week, you kind of think Titans aren't going up to Townsville trying to cover. They're going up there trying to win. If they have any chance of beating the Cowboys, they'll have to take a bunch of risks, and they actually could get ugly as well. So, yeah, can't play the Titans with the points, even though they will fight hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've been speaking about correlated multis all pod, and this is what you live for as a bettor. This is where you make some money, and this is what dreams are made of. Storm hosting the Sharks Saturday night. Storm laying 6.5 points and 37.5 total.
Yep, so this is kind of the first domino in our two-part absolute gold correlated multi that we're going to come up with. And there's some other games this weekend that do have influence as well, but this is certainly the one. First of all, we have an advantage here. We've already given out the Sharkies plus 6.5. I know that they had a horrid August, but, you know, they did come up against some decent teams that were up for those games in August. I think they got their seasons well and truly back on track when they put on 37 unanswered against the Roosters. I completely understand and respect how good the Storm are, even though the Broncos punked them last week on Friday. And I think the Storm at home, you've got to respect them. But look, there's a few different factors going on here. One is, if the Storm win, they're going to most likely be hosting the Cows in week one. Is that really where they want to be? The Cows beat them in Melbourne last year in the finals. Alternatively, if the Storm lose, they're probably hosting the Raiders in round one without Blake Ferguson. Like, that's really a pretty damn good without Blake Austin. Well, also without Blake Ferguson.
Well, yes, that is true. You're all right.
And bailed out of Canberra. I feel bad for them. They lost Dugan, Milford, Ferguson, Carney. I could go on.
True.
Anyway, so none of those guys are playing for Canberra. You kind of want to take Canberra over the Cows. So in the back of the Storm's mind, they kind of have to know that it's not the end of the world if they lose. In fact, it actually helps their chance to win the comp. And if it was up to me, I'd be resting Cooper and Smithy for this one. But they certainly won't. And, all right, on the point of rest, I'll also just say, I'm kind of completely going helter-skelter here. But, look, I just want to go back to last season. Paul Green deliberately sat out Thurston two different occasions throughout the season. You come down to the extra time period of the grand final last year, and John Thurston kicks a field goal with about one muscle fibre left in his groin still attached. He was running on absolute fumes. He had, by his own admission, one of his worst games of the season because he was absolutely spent. But, you know, thank God he had something left in the tank because of that rest. That rest is important. And when you want to win the comp, you need to win three or four straight epic games in the finals. And I think teams should be smart and rest their key players. And this is your
especially
last
when they're a bit older, like Kronk and Smith are. I mean, they
especially.
Are.
Especially. And they've got to go through the rep season, everything like that. So this is your last chance to rest, guys. And look, I'm not saying the Storm are resting. They won't. Although Kevin Proctor, who's a key second role for that team, plays for New Zealand, he's going to be held out of this one. And I was hearing last week that he was going to be right for this one. But I think that kind of shows you their mindset. They prefer to be on the cautious side with him. In addition to that, another key player who doesn't probably move the needle is Nelson Afoa Solomona. Is that his name?
Close.
The man mountain off the bench.
Yeah, the biggest motherfucker
you've ever seen. Bunty Afoa. But yeah, you can't be mistaken who I'm talking about. He is out with suspension. So look, it's not even a completely full strength Storm. We both said before, we think the Sharks are as good as the Storm, if not slightly better. So you factor in home field advantage worth maybe 2.5 points. We still think a fair line for this one would be the Storm probably -2. So at -6.5, that's crazy. That's a great bet for the Sharkies. But I'll let you explain why you also definitely want to look at playing the Sharkies for the win and putting that in a multi.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, we love the Sharks plus 6.5. We've got a team that we think is basically similar in standard to the Storm, possibly even better, catching 6.5 points in a low total game with chance of showers. But like you said, this is the gold mine. This is the gold mine of the correlated multi. So this is why you want to take the Sharks to win. And honestly, it's not that outlandish. We do think that the Sharks have a real shot at winning this one. So the first leg of your multi is the Sharks to win. Now, if the Sharks win, they lock up second spot and the Raiders cannot catch them to get a home final. So what you'll have is you've got Sticky Ricky, who's already come out and said that if third spot's locked up, he will possibly rest some players. And I know that coaches come out and say this all the time, and sometimes they don't. But look, in all reality, if the Raiders can't catch the Sharks and they can't go down, they can't move up or down on the ladder, it'd be silly not to rest players and they won't need the game at all. Now, contrast that to the Tigers, who are hosting them on Saturday afternoon. And the Tigers need this game like blood. They're going to be playing for a top eight berth, most likely. So we've got a Tigers side at home against that needs the game like blood against a Raiders side that is possibly resting players that doesn't need the game at all, that cannot improve or that cannot improve their position and they cannot go down on the ladder either. So this is the correlated multi of the season, and you find these all the time at the end of the season. Sometimes you don't have one in the round, which is very disappointing, but this time we have a very good one. So what you're going to do is you're going to multi the Sharks and get them in the high $2, $2.80, $2.85, that sort of range. You're going to multi the Sharks to win with the Tigers to win against the Raiders in the next game. Because if the Sharks win, like we said, the Raiders can't move. They might rest players. They don't need the game. They're not going to be motivated. And it's going to be the total opposite for the Tigers, who are going to need the game like blood. So certainly don't play the Tigers without multing them with anything else. But the Sharks-Tigers multi is the multi of the season.
Yep, couldn't agree more. And, you know, not only do we see a direct correlation between a Sharks winning and the Raiders basically mailing in that game. You said Saturday, but it is Sunday afternoon, so they will know. That's a beauty. But the fact that we actually love the Sharks and we love the value on the Sharks on Saturday night as well makes it even better. So if we talk about this Tigers-Raiders game, we've pretty much said it all. But if you look back a week ago, the Titans could have locked up their spot in the top eight against the Panthers. They fell short, just a bad first half, and they fell agonisingly short. Now, what that did was open the door for the winner of the Tigers versus the Warriors. And what a crazy game that was last Sunday. And I foolishly said that New Zealand at 150-1, who just had been given renewed life, was actually a decent bet for the title in terms of value. And they proceed to, you know, lose that home game. One, just pretty much summed up their season, really. But I just want to talk about that game quickly, just to highlight how one play can make such a big difference. It was 18-6 to the Warriors. They were actually down 12-6, and then they scored two straight tries, and they were up 18-12 at halftime, and they scored one of the tries of the season, and it was overruled by the bunker. And Archer has since come out and said it was a joke. The halftime commentators, Vossi and Gaz, were saying it was an absolute joke. Now, if the Warriors score that try and lead 24-12 at halftime, I mean, how many points do they win that game by?
Yeah, at least 20, I reckon. That would have run away with that one.
Yeah, and instead they end up losing the game by 12. And they also had another try disallowed in the second half. And my point is, these games swing so violently. On one moment, it doesn't just sometimes cost you 6 points. It can cost you so much more. And that's why it's basically impossible to win line bets at more than 60% of the time, because so many of these games come down to one 50-50 moment. And it drives you even more crazy when it's that 50-50 moment is a wrong decision by the bunker. I've seen all too many this year. But what that did was gave the Tigers renewed life. So as you said, now they're playing at home, and if they win the game, they can get in the eight. And that's assuming that the Cows beat the Titans, but we do think that will be the case in Townsville. If the Titans win that game, then the Tigers' season is over, but they will still be at home playing potentially a second or a half-strength Raiders. So, you know, that key multi that you want is Sharks into Tigers. And if you want to throw the Cows in there as well, and even the Broncos, they are also slightly correlated to that result. And we already gave out that multi last night, in fact, and that was through our website, tripodbetting.com.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you can throw Broncos in there as well, like you said. But for the Cowboys to lock up, to need the game for a fourth spot, all that really needs to happen is for the Broncos to win on Thursday night or the Bulldogs to win on Friday night. So I think chances are one of those results will come off. Cowboys will need the game against Titans. They will win. Sharks will therefore, and I think, yeah, if that's the case, then Tigers need the game like blood. So that is, yeah, that's the multi of the season. And look, don't go around. I've seen a few people writing that, well, let's take a safer option in this multi, in this correlated multi, and take Sharks +6.5 and Tigers +3.5. But that's kind of not how it really works. You want to take the Sharks just to win, because it doesn't matter if the Sharks cover the 6.5-point spread. And if they cover the 6.5-point spread but lose, then the Raiders can still catch them and the Raiders probably won't rest. So then the correlation doesn't really work. So you need to take Sharks just to win straight up and then multi that with the Tigers.
And then the other beauty of this bet is just the fact that we do like this Tigers team, and we took them +10.5 against Penrith when they were playing for their season 2 weeks ago, and they shut the bed. But they did prove on Sunday that there's a talented side, and I do believe that they would definitely win that game if the Raiders didn't need it, and if the Raiders rest a couple guys, and Caesar is an obvious candidate, Paulo's already going to be out, and how much the Tigers, we both agree that if the Sharks win on Saturday night, the Tigers will be favoured on Sunday. How
definitely.
Much why? It's just going to depend on who sits out. So that's
absolutely.
A great opportunity for you.
Yeah, and even if no one sits from the Raiders, I honestly think that this line closes closer to Pick'em, even if no one sits, just given the motivational factor. And then on top of that, you've got the chance that Raiders rest from players and Tigers need the game like blood. Raiders don't need it. And in that case, who knows how many points the Tigers would be favoured by. This line could literally swing more than 6 points in overnight. So I think that's a definite play of the season. Sharks into Tigers. Let's get on with it. On Sunday, late game, we've got the Warriors hosting the Eels. Warriors are 6.5-point favourites at home and 44.5 the total.
Yeah, so we already kind of spoke about what happened to the Warriors last year. I guess, well, what did we say about this game? We don't have a best bet on it. You highlighted the fact that Jonathan Rice is playing for the Warriors instead of my favourite player, Solomon Okata. And I just said, if Jonathan Wright is guarding Semi Radradra, we may have the first ever occasion that an NRL player scores 10 tries in a game.
What would the odds on that be?
I reckon I'd put him at like $2.
I remember we were watching
Jonathan Wright is so shit.
He's so bad. I remember last time, well, not last time we had a bet on the Warriors, but it was the time we had the Warriors in a bet. We were watching it down at the pub, and Jono Wright, you were telling me, you're like, he's so bad. I'm like, not that bad. And sure enough, he butchers two dead set tries. He dropped the ball with no one guarding him, basically over the line. So that's 12 points gone. And then I'm pretty sure he made two very vital defensive errors, which led to two tries. So he basically cost the Warriors 24 points. So, look, I am not laying 6.5 points with the Warriors here. I think that's a dream-crushing loss last week. And I don't know how you can possibly pick yourself up from that one and put in a good performance. But on the flip side, they are at home. We know the Eels show up. They did last week. We know they're going to show up in this one. The line's probably fair, but honestly, anything could happen in this one. So I like to stay far away from games where anything could happen. Warriors could win by 30. Eels could win by 30. Who knows? There's better bets on the board. Let's save our money for them. Last game of the round, we've got the Panthers hosting the Sea Eagles. The Panthers are laying 10.5 points and 42.5 the total. Now, with this one, obviously, it will depend on whether the Panthers need the game or not. And look, to be honest with you, most likely they won't. And the Sea Eagles have been putting in, you know, some decent efforts. And they played well against the Raiders last week. I mean, they put on 30 points, for God's sake. So they're playing all right. Plus, they get Dylan Walker back. It seems like it's a little too many points for me playing, having the Seagulls +10.5. I think we should certainly take that. On top of that, what we probably will have on Monday night is the Seagulls side. Yes, they don't need the game. But in saying that, they haven't needed the game for ages. They haven't needed games for ages. They've been out of the hunt. And they've still put in good efforts. But what we've got is, you know, probably two teams that will not need the game. Two teams that won't need the game, but one team that has to play next week in the finals and one team that doesn't. Now, who do you think is going to be putting in a bit more effort, diving after balls, putting their body on the line? It's going to be the Seagulls. And I think 10.5 points is just a little too much for me. But
like best betting advice we're going to give you guys for this one is just to not bet on Penrith. Don't just look at the slate and assume Penrith's a great bet there, because the best they can really get up to in this ladder, realistically, unless Brisbane loses by 20-plus points on Thursday, the highest they can get is 6 against the Doggies. But there's no difference between coming 6th or 7th because their home ground is too small. That game will take place at Allianz Stadium. So you don't actually have any reason the Panthers need to win the game, which definitely makes you think Manly catching 10.5 and even at $4 to win, as you said, with a couple blokes back, is probably the way to look. But having said that, the Panthers are a young side with a not very smart coach. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do come out and just try their hardest to get a home win to, like, build confidence. Because, I don't necessarily believe in this whole notion of building confidence before the finals. I think it's more important to give your key players rest when you can. I spoke about that before. But we just don't know what's going to happen. So we could really only look to Manly in this spot.
Yeah, and you see it time and time again. It's, well, when teams get key injuries to their star players in the finals, you almost cross them off the list. And I think it's way more important. Yeah, you're right. This notion of, building confidence, getting wins into, coming into the finals, getting your players playing well. I think it's far more important to have your whole team healthy rather than, gelling together and playing an extra game. I think the risk of someone getting injured far outweighs the reward of having your players gel and getting confidence into the finals. And I think, it is an Australian thing, I think, because you look all over the world, and especially in America, the NBA, you've got the NFL, all of those codes rest their star players going into the finals. They rest them in preseason. You see it, NFL preseason's going on now. Do you think the quarterback plays more than, one or two quarters in the preseason? He doesn't. And that notion of team chemistry, they don't care too much about that. It's all about keeping your best players healthy. So, if Anthony Griffin's smart, which I don't think he is, he'd rest players in that Monday night clash, but who knows? But I don't think you'll feel dumb with Manly 10.5 in your pocket.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If an NFL quarterback got injured in the final week of the regular season in a game his team didn't need to win, that would be a sackable offence by the coach.
Yeah.
But over here, these coaches say all this bullshit about, we want to build form into the finals. We don't want to go in on a loss. So you do have to be careful that sometimes teams you think don't have anything to play for still put up a good performance. But we're still going to take massive advantages in terms of personnel decisions with our correlated multi, because we kind of know Sticky Ricky's already come out and said he will rest guys in that Raiders game. In this Manly Penrith game, we're not suggesting anyone's going to be rested, but the last thing you want to do is bet on Penrith minus 10.5 and then find out that Moylan and Peter Wallace, who's been a Warrior this year, and Mansour are getting a rest. I mean, Sunday night game before the finals, it's the least amount of rest before the finals as well. They know they're playing an elimination game. It makes sense to rest guys. You never want to play a team that doesn't need to win. That's why we like that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we zoomed through this. Sorry that you guys didn't get to hear kind of the longer version of this one.
But if
the Collard Mold a bit more.
Yeah, it is a little bit convoluted and shit. Like, it's a little bit tricky to kind of get a hold of all these correlations, etc. So you're obviously going to listen this one through, and if you don't want to listen to it twice and sort of get a full breakdown of it, just hit us up in the group. We'll be more than happy to explain it to you. Just type your question in there, because honestly, there's so much money to be made last couple of weeks of the season with all these correlated multis. So if you don't quite understand anything, head over to our group, Tripod Tips Forum. Just hit us up, post the question up, and we'll be more than happy to explain it more in depth.
Yeah, you said it. Our Facebook page is gone, but we are still alive and well in our group. We're starting up another challenge, the second challenge. So the first time around, we started with just a $500 free bet and William Hill chipping in a few $20 for new members. And we ended up with over $7,000. In fact, we had a really good line on the Tigers, who didn't show up that particular night, would have got the kitty to over $10,000, which is, at that point, we were going to cash out half the stake. So we honestly did really well. It was a really fun ride for everyone involved. We're doing it again, and it's starting this weekend. So if you're not in our next 100K challenge, all the info to join is in the group, and it is on our website, which is www.tripodbetting.com. Just go betting challenges. You can join that and join the fun this weekend. And like you said, hit us up about any questions. I mean, last round of the regular season, another 60%+ season. It gets harder to find an angle because we love betting on, you know, low motivation spots, flat spots, personnel, things like that. These things, there are not really flat spots or you know, big games for teams in the finals because every game means everything to every team. So this is our last chance to maybe take an added advantage. And I'm hoping it's a bit of a jackpot round with these correlated multis.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a real way to end what's been a really successful season for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That Sharks Tigers multi is the multi of the season. And yes, it's going to be, you know, over five, or it's going to be nearly $6 odds. So, you know, chances are it's not going to come off, but we think, you know, that should be a far, you know, it's going to happen way more than one in six times, that's for sure. So,
absolutely.
On top of that, with the group and with the challenge, like you explained, it doesn't cost you anything to enter. It's totally free. We're going to put up all the money for it. So, and you'll be splitting in all the winnings if we do get to 100K. But on top of that, we still are posting up our best bets, but they are on the website now. And on top of that, we have started an email list, which will get you all the best bets delivered straight to your inbox. It'll get you all the weekly multis, all the best promos, all the best sign-up offers, etc., delivered straight to your inbox. So head on over to our website, tripodbetting.com, and just click on the newsletter tab. Pop your email in there, and then we'll be sending out all your, you'll get all the best bets, all the multis delivered straight to your inbox. And I might, after we post this pod up, I might even send out some more, another email just with instructions on how to enter the 100K challenge as well for those that haven't signed up yet.
That's it. We mentioned last pod, US Open is now on. You're a former tennis pro. You've actually been given out a multi yesterday in the US Open, and there's ways to get advantages with our tennis multis, getting cash bonus as well. I think we had yet another multi lose by one leg.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We're going close. We're giving ourselves a chance with our tennis multi. So if you're a tennis fan, you can get our tennis bets on our website as well. So, yeah, I hope everyone enjoys round 26. It's been a great season. Thanks for being with us so far this season. As always, please.
Please.
Gamble responsibly.